This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Not exactly a love story going on between Caleb Williams and the city of Chicago. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We've got basketball for you. We've got football for you. Everything on the table on this very, very big Friday. So welcome to the show. But Pro, got to start off with the news from yesterday. Some clips from an upcoming book by a friend of ours, Seth Wickersham, who will be coming on the show, by the way, at some point to talk about all of this. Got that confirmed yesterday. But he had some interesting quotes from not only Caleb Williams, but also Caleb Williams' father. Now, some of this stuff kind of leaked out before the draft that maybe they were thinking about trying to avoid Chicago, which, to be fair, you could understand why a guy who's a generational quarterback talent may not look at Chicago and say, wow, this is a place where I can really succeed. And it turns out they were not only nervous about Chicago, they were exploring some pretty big options, like meeting with labor lawyers, talking with Archie Manning, who steered Eli Manning away from San Diego into the New York Giants, and even exploring a move to the United Football League in a John Elway type of situation and trying to circumvent the draft and let Caleb Williams become a free agent, a former Heisman Trophy winner, to become a free agent and sign wherever he wanted to. His preference was the Minnesota Vikings. Now, after a pre-draft visit to Chicago, Caleb Williams changed his mind, said he actually could succeed, had reservations about the head coach and the OC. He was right about that. They're both gone. And now he's going to start over with Ben Johnson. But this is a pretty big bombshell to drop in this book. Even if you agree that the system is unfair for rookies and that Chicago is a wild card for quarterbacks, it still doesn't, to me, feel like this relationship is on an awesome level right now and shaky ground for Caleb.
Well, first of all, there's no agree or disagree. Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die. That's a fact. If you listen to pull tape of me when
you Chicago got
the number one pick, everybody knows this. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer. It's 2025. Do you know how hard it is to not have a 4,000-yard passer in today's NFL? So this all confirms my system quarterback theories. Like, Tom Brady went to the wrong team, he wouldn't be Tom Brady. And Caleb Williams went to the wrong team. Now, he might get a lifeline because they got the best hire of the offseason and Ben Johnson, former Lions coordinator. But generally, this was set up for failure. And Caleb Williams' dad, who's always been interventionist in his son's career, going back to Oklahoma, everyone's known that he was one of those dads who is preparing his kid to be in the NFL. I mean, he's not wrong about anything. Of course, Chicago was a terrible place. Matt Eberflus, you said it too. They had a coach who wasn't on the same page with his GM. They had a defensive coach. They hired basically the best offensive coordinator they could find, not because they were so excited about this guy, only because he was the only guy left. Everything screamed failure going into the situation. Now, I mean, really, I don't even think that's a point of debate. I think the point of debate is, have things changed enough in one offseason that situation has changed?
Yeah, and that's a big question. So the big quote that could end up sticking with Caleb Williams, not his dad, with Caleb, who said this to the author of the book about why he decided to, you know, not make this a whole big mess and decided to go play ball in Chicago, literally, figuratively, play ball with the Bears. He said, quote, "I wasn't ready to nuke the city. I wasn't ready to make this so messy that they would be forced to trade me. Like, I just wouldn't be able to suit up for Chicago. I wasn't ready to nuke the city. So you could be ready soon. If things don't go your way, if things don't get off to this great start, I know you want to put Ben Johnson, their new head coach, in Canton. Pearl, he has not coached a game in the NFL. And it's not just about play calling. We know he's a good play caller. But is he going to be able to manage the relationships, the egos? This story is early enough in the offseason. They'll get through it, definitely, before the season starts. But that quote, to me, is always going to loom out there almost just a little like a stinky fart. Like you can't take it back.
I think you have that quote wrong.
Oh, okay. How?
It's done. He got drafted by them. He can't nuke the city now. He's under a contract with them.
You can nuke anything whenever you want to.
In
you watch the
years,
NBA.
He can't. No, you can't. In the NFL, Carl Williams is right. That contract's ironclad. He can't nuke anything. What's he going to do?
Listen, Carson Palmer got his way out of Cincinnati.
Yes, after 9 years.
There are, and fast forward that to the 2025 version, and maybe that doesn't take 9 years.
It's not going to take 2 years. I mean, he has no choices now. He could, even if he wanted to nuke the city, no quarterback in a rookie deal has ever tried to trade his way. It's pulled a James Harden. That's never happened.
Yet.
Cam Williams has no choice here. He's stuck.
Oh, Pearl. No athlete is ever stuck anymore. And by the way, not
ask
athletes.
Carl Williams.
Well, okay, but not athletes who think this way. And I'm not saying he's the only one.
Yeah.
Think about Caleb Williams coming up in a college system where you have free agency every single year. Yeah. We know how the family thinks about the CBA. And I'm not saying they're wrong, by the way. They look like they could be in for a fight, a challenge, that they would take this head on because they also know that Caleb, you know, at least his rookie season wasn't amazing, but he obviously has still some degree. Like, he would be a sought after and a very wanted person. And that's why those are the types of people who can actually move the needle here. Just because we haven't seen it yet doesn't mean we won't see it. And if you're telling me that Caleb...
Just explain some logistics. Like, what are you talking about? Like, how could this actually happen?
How did James Harden get traded?
I mean,
Houston and then out of Brooklyn.
Right, right. But this guy is on the second year of a 5-year contract.
Okay.
And there's two scenarios here. One, if he plays really well, he has a lot of value.
Well,
he's not going to want to leave.
Okay. That's a good option.
If he plays really badly, then he lost his leverage anyway, and he's stuck in Chicago. There's no other scenario except stuck in Chicago.
No, because first of all, when I say the James Harden option or what we see in other NBA players, they didn't do it in their second years either.
Right, but that's the NBA. The NFL doesn't work at all like that.
Yet.
Yeah.
Girl, you're talking like
it's never happened in 106 years of the NFL. And I mean, even in the recent, like, this has not happened. I don't know, like, what's he going to possibly do? Like, if he plays badly this year, he isn't going to have any leverage anyway.
No, because they will always give a second chance to somebody who had that much talent coming out of college. If you don't think that 15, 16 other teams would be lining up to make a trade, you're crazy. Now, yeah, it's unprecedented. Have we seen something?
16 teams are going to make a trade for a Caleb Williams if he has a bad season. 16 teams.
Yes.
No.
Have you seen Have you seen the state of quarterback play in the NFL?
Yes. You could go sit like the 16 starters, like Brock Purdy. Yeah. Nobody's going for. If he plays really badly, there are not 16 teams lining up for Caleb Williams.
Listen,
no way.
I'd love to know what the audience thinks because I don't know how closely people are following this thing, but Caleb Williams is talking here like somebody who is very much thinking about this as a business deal and a business. And you know what? If he says, I wasn't ready to nuke the city, that doesn't mean I'll never nuke the city. That means that doesn't say I'll never make this so uncomfortable that Ryan Poles has to trade me. It's not going to be the Vikings, obviously. That would not happen in a division rival. But if you're saying that he wants to make this so messy, like James Harden showing up fat and out of shape in Houston and dribbling a ball off his foot on purpose to get traded, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but if you think that's never going to happen in the NFL,
it never will happen.
How can you say that?
Because if you show up fat and lazy, you'll get killed. Like, it's not the NBA. It's never going to happen because if he plays badly, he's Sam Darnold and he has to go to Carolina on an $8 million a year deal. I mean, it's just how it works. I don't understand the scenario. First of all, he's 3 years away from the end of his contract.
Sure.
This is a book. This is ancient history. This might as well be in the Parthenon in Greece. This happened, Maggie. This is none of this. This is all about the spring where he got drafted. None of this is relevant anymore. There's nothing he could do.
Disagree. So, but here's the thing. When you have quotes that come out like this, it just to me doesn't signify that there is like this love affair that's going on, obviously, with it's like the quarterback had to hold his nose and sign with you despite all these reservations. And maybe Ben Johnson saves that, but maybe he doesn't. And that would be the other thing. It's one thing to nuke the city, as he said, who wasn't ready to nuke the city, and try to get yourself away. It's another thing where he still could get people fired. He can get Ben Johnson fired.
That ain't
happening. He can get Ryan Poles fired.
Ryan Poles must have pictures of the ownership group because he ain't getting fired.
He doesn't. I promise you he's sturdy ground. Because if you let things go out of hand here with Caleb Williams, it's good. And by the way, the Bears fire GMs anyway. Who's Ryan got a Poles, lifetime contract over there?
I think most people think Ryan Poles should have already been fired. His draft picks have been a mess. He picked Rome Odunze when he desperately needed offensive lineman. This year, he's put Colson Loveland. Do you know how risky that pick is?
So this is what I'm saying. You're telling me that Caleb Williams might not have any like power in the organization because he already put pen to paper on his rookie deal. But I'm telling you, no way.
Yeah,
there's a million ways this thing could still go if Caleb Williams is not happy. And basically, this article and book is they're putting it. Guys, this is not anonymous sources.
Yep.
This is not sources close to Caleb Williams. It's out of his own mouth that he said, I wasn't ready to nuke the city yet. Yeah. It doesn't mean now you're just biding your time. Hand over the red button until he decides to order the code red.
But
that's
I
would feel.
It never happened. First of all, if he plays badly, you think that I understand what we're talking about today. You don't think people out there are going to blame Caleb Williams? There's already whispers he doesn't work hard. Then this story kind of said, oh, it's on the team. I mean, if he has a bad season, say he throws 16 touchdowns and 16 picks and they're 5-12, you think there's going to be a line of 16 teams wanting to get this guy? That's not how it works. It's going to go on the quarterback.
You have an unproven
head coach.
It's
not the NBA where you can see the talent, obviously. I think a quarterback, you have to see the production. Nothing like this has ever even come close to happening. When a guy's a bust, a number one, everybody puts it on him. He doesn't sign for $50 million on his next contract.
Right. And I will tend to agree with you, except for a point that you bring up to me constantly and that you've already brought up once this morning. It's the Bears.
Yeah, but
it's the Bears.
They can ruin anybody.
Exactly. So who's going to blame Caleb?
Well, no one's going to blame Caleb.
They're obviously going to blame the Bears. They're going to give Caleb a million more shots. And you bring up Sam Darnold.
He'll get a million more shots at like the league minimum. He's going to be Sam Darnold. He's going to be every number one pick who floats around a million times.
Well, just for one little small detail about Sam Darnold, the Panthers picked up his fifth-year option, which was $20 million. And here's the thing.
That'd be great. But we're not talking about him pulling a James Harden and pulling a power play.
I'm just saying people and Sam Darnold didn't nearly have the fanfare coming out of USC that Caleb did. He didn't win the Heisman.
No.
He wasn't thought of as a generational talent. He had a phenomenal Rose Bowl against who was at Penn State. Sam Darnold we'll see what happens with Seattle, but he was living off of not a lot of college starts and that amazing bowl game. Caleb Williams is on a completely other path in terms of hype and expectations and all of that stuff. People will blame Chicago. They will not blame the player.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. But
said the opposite. I'm saying that's not true.
I understand what you're saying. By the way, Sam Darnold was a guy that was going number one all season long. It's to say that he wasn't hyped. He was a guy that people were talking about tanking for. He definitely came into the season as the number one and ended up the number three. He was no small deal at all. Sam Darnold was awesome, and he's way bigger than Caleb, too.
Not on Caleb's level when it comes to hype.
Yeah, not on Caleb, but he was definitely like one of the most hyped coming into the season. Like he was one of those surefire number one overall picks. And
a lot of people blame the Jets for why his career got off the rails. They're not going to blame Caleb. They will blame the Bears.
Yes. They will side with Caleb, but I'm telling you right now, if he plays badly, just the way this business works, it's going to go on him. I know today it feels like the Bears, and I know Bears ruin quarterbacks. I know it's the system.
Yeah.
But I don't think everyone else realizes that. For example, you could look at, like, honestly, I think Trevor is probably a better quarterback than he is. I just think it's been a sort of tumultuous team-building organization there. But people blame Trevor. You blame Trevor all the time.
Listen, I'm not giving up on him by any stretch. Also,
But is he able to pull a power play? No.
Well, here's the thing, though. I don't know about that because the Jags are a mess. We'll see what happens now with Travis Hunter. Nobody trusts them. The Urban Meyer hire was a complete disaster, and I did not mean for that to rhyme. But this is the thing. Trevor Lawrence doesn't seem like he has the personality to do something like that, right? Like you have to, it's not just any person who talks to a reporter on the record who says, I wasn't ready to nuke the city. Like, I just can't imagine that coming out of Trevor Lawrence's mouth. It does take a certain type of personality. And, you know, from what we've heard about Caleb Williams, there were, you know, before the draft, whether he wanted an ownership stake in the Bears, and obviously he had this, you know, reservations about going there, which I totally understand. He seems like a different kind of cat. You know, GQ magazine, huge spread after you lose 10 games in a row to end the season, and you're in GQ in Rotterdam, like posing in some kind of raincoat. I mean, clearly this guy, he thinks he's amazing. And I think he is too, even though we don't have the evidence of that from year one of his NFL career. I think he's cut differently. And not every guy is cut out for the nuclear option, but it looks like Caleb Williams might. So I can't use Trevor Lawrence or Sam Darnold as an example because those guys are too mild-mannered. They were never going to explore this.
Yeah.
We have evidence now from their own mouths that Carl Williams and Caleb Williams, dad and son, were talking to labor lawyers, were thinking about the United Football
League. Were.
They went for, you think they lost their numbers? They went pretty far. Well, the labor lawyers can't
but
do anything now.
I mean, he's clearly going to do 4 years in Chicago.
Okay, well, maybe.
Yeah, you're talking about like the fifth year, what happens? Is this what we're, because there's no, things aren't going well this year, I want out of Chicago. Unfortunately, because Carl Williams has found out that CBA is pretty ironclad.
Yeah, and it's
crappy.
What are we
actually talking about here? So,
well, that's why I'm leaving that part of it to the side, because nobody knows how this is going to go if things start going poorly in Chicago. If Ben Johnson isn't God's gift to NFL coaching.
Unlikely, but go ahead.
Sure. Let's just let our minds for a second explore the fact that he may not be the next Bill Walsh.
There's no way this guy's not going to be a good offensive coach, but please go ahead.
Okay.
Offensive coach. I don't know if he's a good head coach.
Okay. He's a great play caller.
If Caleb Williams cannot work it with this offense, then I don't know what's happening.
I'm just saying we got insight here into the psyche and how of star players thinking about their franchise. And they're going to say it's great now, but if you just weren't ready for the nuclear option, but you explored the nuclear option, that means it's not totally off the table, in my opinion.
Well, here's the thing. He's just not going to have it. I mean, the most common take on the last year's draft is, man, Chicago should have taken Jaden Daniels. Like, Caleb Williams' star is not where it was. He has not even 1/100 of the leverages he had coming in. He's probably going to end up being the fourth best quarterback in this class, I think.
That's a little early.
Well, I mean, I think Jaden Daniels obviously is on a rocket ship. I think Drake May looked pretty darn good. So now I think Caleb is competing with probably, I mean, I think people are picking the Patriots to go to the playoffs. I keep hearing that left and right. I don't think Caleb is anything like where he was. Come into the draft, he was this phoenix. Oh my God, Caleb Williams. We got to get Caleb Williams. And then it became pretty clear, okay, he's just another one of us. He's another quarterback. Yeah. I mean, Jaden Daniels is obviously the star of this class, and I don't think anything's going to change there. I love Ben Johnson, but there's no way Caleb Williams is going to have a better season than Jaden Daniels in Chicago. I mean, it's still a place where quarterbacks go to die, in one part because you're playing on grass and you're playing in the wind, and it's not logistically. I think Caleb Williams wanted to go to Minnesota for two reasons. That was another part of the story. He wanted to play for Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
It's indoors.
Yeah.
This is not, there's a reason quarterbacks are not great in Chicago. He's not going to have 50 touchdowns and 7 picks and be like, listen, Chicago, I hold the cards now. That is not what's going to happen here.
I love your level of delusion, not thinking there's a level of delusion on their part that they can move the chess pieces around the board. And it might not even be delusion, by the way. Our very own Andrew Kaplan's in our chat. The Bears are a disaster, says Kaplan.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want Williams. The Bears should trade him now. Cap's on one this morning.
Wait, what do you mean? So the Bears should trade him?
The Bears should trade him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, too. You're pretty confident this guy's a good quarterback. TBD.
Hey, listen, he's in Chicago. He might need the nuclear option.
I loved him when he ran around at USC and would rocket the ball 50 yards downfield. I don't know who's to blame here. I do think that the Bears just keep making the same mistakes over and over again. They got him another, you know, they drafted a tight end after drafting a wide receiver last year. Every time I talk to a quarterback, they want linemen. They did sign a bunch of linemen, but that's not how you build a quarterback. Why did they draft Rome Odunze last year when they already had DJ Moore and Keenan Allen? I didn't understand it. So we'll see. Maybe they're going to be really good. I think Ben Johnson. Here's the thing about Ben Johnson. He's a great run game coach.
Yeah.
So that is what Caleb needs. He doesn't need a nuclear option. He doesn't need anything. He needs a run game. And I think this idea that he's going to pull a James Harden is fantasy, Mag. I don't think you can do that in the NFL.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. So Caleb Williams, I would say this is, you know, not how you want a marriage to start.
Well, I mean,
a year into my marriage and I found out that, you know, if I found out my husband was consulting divorce lawyers before we even walked down the aisle, I'd be like, huh.
Can I ask you a question?
I can't unsee that. I can't unhear that. Yes.
Do you think Carl Williams was right? Do you think he should have pulled a power play?
I don't think it would have worked.
I think it might have.
The UFL, that wasn't going to work.
He really could have. I think if he could do it again, he would have pulled an Elway. I really do. I think that John Elway, of course, famously didn't want to go to Baltimore, did go nuclear on Baltimore.
Yeah, Jim Kelly did the same thing. On Buffalo, ironically, ended up still going to Buffalo and becoming a legend there.
But it became way more personal with Baltimore and John Elway. That became a feud. I think that if Carl Williams could do it again, he would have gotten him to a different offensive coordinator, like Cliff Kingsbury.
I think there was a real life. Well, listen, and Caleb's from D.C., and there was maybe some things there. But I think there was a real life calculation going on that Caleb was already dealing with some negativity coming into the draft, which was, is he a me first guy? Is he a good locker room guy?
Pain in nails, crying on his mother's shoulder after a game.
I mean, some stuff a little obviously more flimsy than others.
It's not saying we think this way, but you know the football people think that way.
Yeah, and by the way, he's still painting the nails, so like everyone's got to get over it. But I think I think he was probably trying to fight that stigma. Like if you pull this move, you basically validate what people like Colin Cowherd and others were saying about you.
Yeah, that you're a me first guy. You're so right about that. But I think if he could have a time machine, he would go back and say, I'm not going to Chicago. Because he knew what you do, that this Eberflus Ryan Poles ownership group marriage was flawed.
Oh, I've never seen the country rooting for someone to get fired on Thanksgiving more than Matt Eberflus.
My God. It was like poor Matt Eberflus.
It's a national holiday. Everyone's like, fire his ass.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't want to. You don't want to send the number one overall quarterback to a defensive coach anyway. It's like giving the number one guy to Todd Bowles. You just don't do that.
888-710-4ISN 888-710-4476 Okay, so what do you think about this Caleb Williams marriage with the Bears? We going long term or short term here? I don't feel great about it. What about you? We got the Nuggets forcing a game 7 last night, so that's going to be exciting. And a thought on the Cowboys coming off of the schedule release. Who's the real America's team? Get into that next, M&P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. A lot going on. Started off the show discussing Caleb Williams. It's amazing how we read all the quotes from the ESPN story, quoting Seth Wickersham's book on Caleb Williams, completely differently. Mm-hmm. You saw these quotes as current history, as living history. This, to me, is all done. He got screwed. He went to Chicago. It's nothing he could do. He's there. Maggie, you disagree, thinking, if I'm a Bears fan, I'm nervous about Caleb Williams' attitude toward my team.
Yeah, definitely. We found out that the father and Caleb were exploring labor lawyers and the United Football League and talking to Archie Manning about how to get Caleb away from the Bears. And then a pre-draft, visit, I guess, changed Caleb's mind. He calls the father off, calls off the dogs and trying to do anything. But the quote was, Caleb said, I wasn't ready to nuke the city. I mean, that to me is not exactly scream love story. Now, things change, and I'm not trying to root against Caleb, and I'm not trying to root against the Bears. I'm just saying if I was a Bear fan, I'd be like, oh, crap. You know, this guy is supposed to turn the tide. He's supposed to be the first 4,000-yard passer in our history. He's the one who's going to change this horrible, long history of mediocre Bears quarterbacks. We finally got a lifeline here. And I'm now way more nervous about the future of Caleb in Chicago.
Because they knew he didn't want to go there. I mean, everybody knew that. That was a barely hidden sort of secret. Just based on, and I'm not saying everyone knew it, but logic said, I don't want to go to this team. Like, he was a hot young quarterback from USC. Do you think he wants to go to Chicago where quarterbacks go to die? Of course he didn't want to go there, but he did. Now he's there. There's nothing he can do about it. Nothing the Chicago fans can do about it. You've got to have to make this marriage work.
Let's go to Nick, who's in Washington. Nick, you heard about this story and thought what?
Well, hey, Maggie, I've called this this station a number of times and have never been able to get through. So I'm very thankful to get through tonight.
You got a right number? 888-710-4ISN. We changed it recently.
I do, and I have in the past, too. You guys have just been so busy.
Well, there's a big sign saying, don't let Nick in Washington on. It's giant. It's like the number one rule.
Because I'm going to try to oppose everything that you're saying. Particularly you, Maggie.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams is one of the biggest overrated quarterbacks of all time. I mean, I wouldn't say that... he's right up there with Johnny Manziel or anything. I mean, that was Johnny's own behavior that, you know, stricken his own fate there. But I don't know. I don't know much about Caleb Williams' father, but I mean, he must have like an Ivy League degree in marketing or something, because Caleb Williams he's good. He's athletic. He's handsome. He's charismatic and everything. But when it comes down to it, always at the big moment, he makes a mistake. He throws an interception. He does something stupid. You got Michael Penix. You got, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, so many other players. And there's probably like a half a dozen or a dozen more quarterbacks from small colleges all within his same.
Wait, Nick, hold on one second. I understand you don't love Caleb Williams. You might think he's overrated. The traits are there, man. Like, I'm going to just disagree with you on that. And by the way, we could go into all these guys. Michael Penix threw some ill-advised interceptions.
How many seasons has Caleb Williams had during his college career where he had, say, less than three losses?
Yeah, but Nick, you're a football fan. If you watch USC, which it sounds like you definitely did, what was the problem in that on that team? Their defense was ranked 1,000,000th in college football. They couldn't stop a nosebleed, as my friend Bart used to say. You cannot put all that on Caleb.
Caleb Williams was part of the problem. When it came down to it, to big moments, he made mistakes. He threw interceptions. Caleb Williams was and is part of the problem. And therefore, I say he's way overrated.
I don't know, man. I understand he didn't have a perfect career. Nick, thanks for the show. You're definitely not banned, by the way. Disagreeing with me is basically a prerequisite.
We're ending the Nick ban, I think. That was a good call.
No, it was a great call. And
by the way, you just said traits for Caleb Williams. You know, Caleb Williams isn't in the draft. We got to see him for a year in the NFL.
Yeah, with
the
Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron.
Yeah, but I mean, the traits conversation is a long time ago. I think Nick was closer to how most people view Caleb Williams. Is Caleb Williams is uber talented, but there does seem to be something missing. It might be the coaching, but there's definitely, I think
I'm
most
sorry,
people
Lincoln
think
that, Riley has won what? With all those quarterbacks that had talent that are starting in the NFL, that are on second contracts.
They killed it immediately the day they walked in the NFL, and Caleb did not.
Well, he was going to the Bears. You're just talking about how he goes to a place where quarterbacks went to die.
But nobody cares where the quarterback, unfortunately, once you get slotted to that spot, like Ryan Leaf probably could have been good if he went to a different team, but nobody cares. They're still going to call him a bust. I think if they had an open draft right now from that quarterback class, I don't think Caleb Williams goes number one.
Okay. He might not go number one because Jaden Daniels was right there going number two. It's not like Jaden Daniels fell to 32.
Well, I think it would go Jaden Daniels, Drake May, then Caleb Williams. And I think that, you know, I think teams would weigh Bo Nix and Michael Penix against him too.
Bo Nix got to go play with Sean Payton.
I understand, but you're saying that Caleb Williams, because he was so awesome at USC, and he was, I agree, it was a defense. Like, that doesn't mean anything now. He's already a year into his NFL career. Viewing him as this transcendent superstar that teams are dying to get. I think everyone's watching him and wondering, I want to see what this kid does.
It's his fault that his team gave up a freaking Hail Mary on the road to the Commanders. It's his fault that his coach couldn't call a timeout when they're about to beat the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving. Guys, get a freaking clue. Like, everyone killed me yesterday because I said the Warriors, you know, Jimmy Butler could win a game even without Steph Curry. You're like, no, Maggie, you don't know basketball. It's a team game. What about football? Football's not a team game. You're blaming Caleb Williams for that rookie year. Get out of here with that.
But you're saying he has all this leverage. I don't know.
He's got talent.
Yeah, we know he has talent, but the way you were talking about him is like he is this amazing player that everyone would kill or die to get. I think the NFL is like, ooh, let's see what happens this year.
The Giants traded back into the first round for Jackson Dart. Are you kidding? Yes, I think Caleb Williams would have a market.
You describe like it'd be like five first round picks for Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is never going on.
This isn't the NBA yet.
Caleb Williams is not going on the trade market. There's no NFL leverage trade. That kind of trade is just not a thing. He is going to have to play this out with Ben Johnson until at least year four. And at that point, if he's good, then Chicago re-signs him. If he's bad, then he floats around. That's just how the NFL works.
And there's no part of you that thinks if things go badly with Caleb Williams in Chicago for the first 4 years, right? And let's say that he goes somewhere else and kills it.
Oh, he could be good.
Right,
but
so whose fault is it really?
But it's not, like you said, like James Harden was, when he got traded, it was big expectations, lots of draft picks. Like he'll probably sign for $10 million a la Justin Fields. Like it'll be his next deal. And this is how the NFL works. There's no scenario where Caleb Williams is like, you know what? I don't want to be here. Send two first-round picks and give me a $50 million contract. That's not going to happen.
Two conversations going on. One is Caleb Williams clearly felt like he had leverage before the draft. Is there any way he could do anything now after the fact?
I don't think that should be a conversation because that's a hard no.
Okay, well, I know how you feel about that. And then the second conversation is, are you really writing off Caleb Williams? Because that's what it sounds like. You're like, he would not get picked number one if we had an open draft now.
That's not writing him off. I mean, he could be good, but I think most people view him as a little bit below the Jaden Daniels type.
Well, Jaden Daniels had an all-time rookie year. So yeah, right in this moment of time, if you're prisoner of the moment, of course Daniels looks light years ahead of him. But you want to put Ben Johnson in the Hall of Fame. So what is it? Is he going to thrive with a great offensive coordinator, or is he going to be a bust? Because it looks like you're talking about both options here.
I think it's going to be totally in between. I know that's a cop-out, but I think he's going to be improved. But I have trouble seeing him taking that huge of a leap in his first year in Ben Johnson's offense. Probably will take more time. Yeah, I guess I'll have to admit, I have trouble seeing him being a generational star in the NFL yet. I think he's definitely going to improve this year, but it'll be somewhere in between where they're going to be working on it and be like, oh, I think we got something here. And then next year, put all the expectations. It's kind of hard to expect him with a coach. I was thinking about this. Has there ever been an NFL star who had one coach in year one, then got a whole new coach in year two and just like completely got it immediately? That's not how it works with draft picks. You generally don't want your number one overall pick to have two offensive coordinators in his first 2 years. This is a bad sign. He's in a tough spot. So, but I just don't think. Also, I watched him.
Like, I would say Trevor Lawrence got much better the second year with Doug Peterson. Yeah. They made the playoffs. Urban Meyer was a disaster the first year. He got fired midseason. You know, Trevor hasn't been amazing, but you're asking me, did a coach upgrade somebody?
That's a good one.
And
he didn't go to 50 touchdowns. Like, he didn't become what we were hoping with Trevor Lawrence.
Let's get to Bogish. He's got headlines for us. You're welcome to weigh in. Clearly, we feel strongly about this. 888-710-4ISN. How do you feel about Caleb Williams? Bogues, what happened last night?
Mom, Dad, your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Last week, I kind of didn't feel well, so I stayed home for 2 days. Jamal Murray is tougher than me.
Gordon peels off to the right wing, throws out of Murray for three. Yes! 11-point lead for Denver, 93-82. And this is Denver's big lead of the night.
Jason Kosmiski on Nuggets Radio. Denver was down 10 late in the third, flirting with elimination, then rallied for a 119-107 win over the Thunder. Murray finishing with 25 points and 7 assists after being downgraded during the day to questionable with an illness.
I woke up, was feeling it, went to the clinic, got tested for a couple different things. It was negative, so happy about that.
Man, you don't have one.
But I was always going to play in my mind. So I'm glad we got the win. Give ourselves some life and a chance to win the series.
What are they testing for in that clinic?
Sorry, I just jumped on that. I was like, Manny, can you explain how that all works?
You don't have COVID, but you have VD.
Yeah.
Go out there. No,
we're going to preemptively give you some penicillin after what happened on Friday night.
Here's what's funny to me. It's like Jamal Murray has made $200 million. Was that the last contract? Something around there. He's still got to go to a walk-in clinic? No one can come to him? They have no one from the team? Wow, team
is that
doctor?
How it works for rich people? I actually didn't even know that.
What rich person is walking into the urgent care?
I don't know. So you're saying a doctor comes to your house when you're that rich?
I would assume so.
Really?
$172 million worth of career.
So the doctor just leaves his hospital and goes, drives to Jamal Murray's house? Doesn't he need, like, his stuff?
No, I mean, you'd think that the Nuggets have a person that would help you out immediately.
Go to the facility.
Yeah.
No, but, I'm saying sure. Team doctor comes to his house, because if he's really sick, I don't want him to come to the facility, because we're about to play game six with a trip to the Western Conference Finals on the line. So I don't know if I want you infiltrating.
Right, but don't you need all your tools and things?
Like, what do you think he's doing? Get an ultrasound? I mean, they're sticking a thing up his nose.
Well, I have no idea. Like, I don't know what Jamal... I still don't know what he had, but I would assume you need, like, the thing that you hit the knee with, and you need all...
No, they're
not doing reflexes.
Can I get tetanus shots?
They're not waiting with a thing with the stupid thing sliding across the bar.
Honestly, I did not know that was a rich person thing where doctors come to your house. Like, house calls? Like, in, like, Missouri?
The 50s?
Yeah.
I was born in 97. I don't know what a house call is.
So, like, NBA players, like Joel Embiid has a doctor come to his house?
Well, I mean, probably.
I mean, Joel Embiid's probably got somebody on retainer.
Yeah, especially him.
You know, someone would call him, give you an IV, maybe, if you're not feeling great. You
they
think
bring,
you
like, the IV stand to your house?
Yeah, and, like, why?
I mean, that's a real thing for anybody now.
Yeah, you can do that. But here's the other part. Is Jamal Murray sitting next to, like, Bill in Denver, who's like, you know, in an overcoat, like, right. coughing.
I've been here for 90 minutes.
Guy's about to play game six.
I would think you might do it at the facility, keep him in like a side room. But I mean, obviously they brought him. They weren't scared. They brought him in and put him on the court.
I
don't think he's walking into urgent care. I think the clinic at the facility. That has to be what he meant.
I have a question for you. Do you think the people who own the Nuggets or the Walmart people, do you think they go to a walk-in clinic when they're feeling under the weather? I'm going to say no shot in hell.
They go to their own clinic. They go to their own little Walmart pharmacy.
They do have a whole pharmaceutical company at their beck and call. Now I'm going to look around the next time I'm in urgent care. It's like, are you a billionaire? Are you a millionaire? Maybe we're all in this together.
Wonder if Steve Cohen goes to a urgent care.
Yeah, right.
Whatever happened, Murray played well, so Steve, we're getting Queens. The Game 7 in OKC on Sunday. Thunder head coach Mark Daigneault on Moving On.
We need to be who we've been all season and embrace the opportunity that's in front of us. We get to play that game at home because of the work we did during the regular season in front of our fans. So, you know, we're obviously disappointed in the outcome tonight, but when the ball goes up in the air, we'll be excited to go.
The Thunder have only lost back-to-back games twice this season.
Can I jump in for a second? What if you have to do a strep test? Mm. They immediately put in the strep test machine. You can't carry that to Jamal Murray's house. You have to do that at the facility.
At the clinic.
Right. Yes. So he has to go to the clinic.
But it takes a couple hours to get the results.
No, they have a 15-minute one now. I do it with my kids all the time.
Yeah.
Could he also just do it? But you do that at your house.
No, you do it at the clinic. You have to. Oh. No, we don't have a strep. You do it for COVID. But you have to go to the clinic because they have all the different testing machines. So I'm thinking this logistics through. Mm. Maybe we could call Jamal Murray. That's like, I have to know now.
Call Dr. Rock. See if he ever, text Dr. Rock.
He's a
see
foot
if he
doctor.
Ever,
he doesn't know about infectious diseases.
Ask if he's ever made a house call to a famous athlete.
I guarantee he has not.
Well,
because
he might need his stuff.
I was just thinking the Walmart guy could just go to the doctor's office, which is probably super nice, and he'll open it at any time. That could be an option, too. That's, by the way, what would have made more sense for Jamal. Instead of going to the CVS, maybe going to the doctor's office.
Do you remember being a kid getting strep? I don't know if they still do this, where they rub it on the sheep's blood. Did you guys ever have that?
No, I never heard it. That might be a Binghamton, New York sacrifice.
I'm listening.
That's what they did on the farm, guys.
Remember when they just prayed if you had strep?
Like leeches on you?
They just gave up when you guys were
connected
into the forest.
Kid has strep.
I still don't totally understand. Time they rub it on the sheep's blood? What the heck are you talking about?
Hold on.
What kind of cult did you grow up in?
Yeah. I mean,
what's going on in the 315?
I no doubt you are, but
in the 607.
Excuse me.
Is that the year?
Yeah. How's this work?
Permanently. A sample's placed on special plates made of sheep blood mixed with bacterial growth media called sheep blood agar plates and allowed to grow in a lab. And Streptococcus has a unique feature that allows it to break open red blood cells, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they rub it on like a red palette. And I always wondered what that was. And I asked once, they said it's sheep's blood.
That's new to me. And that's still how they do it?
Up in Binghamton. And I don't know.
What type of 1930 stuff is this?
How then we go sheep? Milk the cows.
How many sheep have we lost because of strep?
Because Maggie's constant strep?
This is Binghamton, New York, where sheep go to
don't
die.
Don't cover your mouth when you cough and you kill a sheep. That's how it works.
Just a bunch of sheep crying as they're getting loaded into the cattle car. Yeah, that's what they did up in our neck of the woods.
Yeah. I just, this house call thing, like, what if you need a different kind of shot? Like, I didn't bring my penicillin shot. You need to go somewhere when you're sick. I don't think this. Anyway,
one more level of overthinking this. Jamal Murray is Canadian. Clinic? Is this is there a weird loss in translation thing?
I thought
here?
You say did they have universal health care?
No, there? No, but is clinic in some way a slightly different word for him that we're not that's why we're missing this.
Canadianese is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean in Canada, like he would have been prescribed two Labatt Blue and man up.
Hit him with a puck and move on.
Get out there. Probably would have worked.
Two Labatts in a hockey game for you, buddy. You'll be all right.
888-710-4ISN. Got to take a break. Coming up, are the Cowboys still America's team? We tackle that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the Megan Perloff Show. Pearl, we were talking about this a lot yesterday when the NFL schedule got fully released. And obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys leading the way with the most standalone games. They're going to play each other on Thanksgiving, which is probably going to break all types of records for viewership. But Cowboys getting the home opener against your Eagles. They're playing Thanksgiving, of course. They're also playing Christmas this year. And all the standalone games that they usually get, to me, still America's team, but the Kansas City Chiefs are definitely gaining on them as far as national reputation. That's undeniable. And they could surpass them with a few more great years and a few more down years from the Cowboys.
Well, that's the question. Could they surpass them? But that's where I disagree with you. Chase Daniel kind of started this, former NFL quarterback, now on Fox, does a great podcast with Diana Rossini. Yep. This is what he tweeted. The Chiefs are the new America's team, playing on Christmas and now on Thanksgiving. Ratings king. He pointed out a couple things. Sustained success, five of the last six Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes is the face of the league. They're in the middle of a dynasty. And last year, they were actually, for the first time in a long time, the most watched team in the league, 25.5 million average, more than the Cowboys.
Yep.
So here's the thing, though. Once the Patriots were that team, they're the Patriots. Like, they'll come and go. Dallas doesn't need to win, and they're still the biggest rating draw. So there's nothing. America's team implies that they're going to be America's team for generations. There's just, this is great, but you have to remember, Taylor Swift's going to be gone in a year. Andy Reid's going to be gone in 3 years. And Patrick Mahomes just is about to turn 30. He's probably going to be gone in maybe seven or 8 years. Well, yeah, I know. But this is America's team implies that they will be recession-proof in the sense that the Cowboys haven't won a title in 30 years, and they're still the number one most hyped team in the league. Like, that's not America's team. That's just the hot team. That's the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think there were things that kept the Patriots from being the, like, from drawing in the casual fan in the way they did. There is something about that Boston market that seems very exclusive to people, not inclusive, you know? And it's been that way for a long time. I don't know if somebody wakes up in Iowa and is like, I'm going to be a Celtics fan today. It's just something very, what is it, parochial? There's something just very insulated. It's the same thing with Philadelphia. I don't think people wake up. The Eagles have had all this success. They could become the next dynasty. And I don't think you're going to see a lot of bandwagon people. Other teams are more inviting. I think the Dallas Cowboys has generations of fans, right?
Right.
From all over the country. But here's the thing about how the Chiefs can get there. A, I do think they are one of those inclusive kind of fan base. Come one, come all. You know, we're not going to scream and yell at you if you don't know who plays third base for the Red Sox right now and publicly shame you, which kind of feels like a Boston thing.
Right.
I think Kansas City is inclusive. And one other thing, for as much as Brady was amazing and, you know, drive for your life, to me, I'd pick Tom Brady in a heartbeat. Mahomes, though, is so exciting.
Wait, just past tense.
What?
Mahomes could not have possibly been more boring last year, just so we're clear about where the Chiefs are.
I still watched him as he's falling to the ground, find a guy in the back of the end zone. Brady was surgical. He was
Tim Duncan, I know. Yeah.
He wasn't an artist. Like, Mahomes is an artist.
No, but he's not anymore. Now they're a run-first defense team, which is ironic. They were terrible to watch last year, right? They didn't score more than 30 points in a single game until your Bills in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hear you, but you hit it with the generations of fans. You have to understand the Cowboys' success was born in the 70s. So now grandfathers or great-grandfathers had kids who they taught to be Cowboys fans. Then they were all primed for the 90s run. And now those dads are teaching their kids to be. The Chiefs disappeared for 50 years. There's no generations of Chiefs fans. So I just don't think it's going to catch fire like the Cowboys did. I think it's going to be a Mahomes. And also, I do think from this rating standpoint, I think this is a Taylor Swift bump as well.
Well, definitely.
That is going to go down immediately when Kelce retires.
Well, the other part, though, is, you know, nowadays, I don't want to just paint everybody. Nowadays, it does feel like, and you're my example of this, beyond your Philadelphia love, you're really a fan of players over teams. And so I think there's just like been a shift, and maybe Manny and young people are kind of rooting more for players. And I think Patrick Mahomes is far and away, head and shoulders, the number one star right now.
Right. Well, so when Mahomes is gone, kind of like when Brady left the Patriots, then I think all those fans leave with him.
Well, let's see. I mean, is it totally taking out of the realm that Kansas City could have a Favre to Rodgers?
Like, yes. There's never going to be another Mahomes. By the way, you forgot about Chiefs fatigue. People were hating on the Chiefs last year.
Well, but now they get this weird underdog maybe roll
back
because they got smoked in the Super Bowl.
So the best thing for their popularity was to get killed?
We're weird like that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Got a big question about Shador Sanders next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.